This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports Station.
And Brook Wire, you are. And Brook, you are.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Let that fire!
Yeah, happy Friday to everybody out there. Seattle Sports on 710, SeattleSports.com. Hope you guys have a good weekend. Planned, Justin, Maura. Justin's girlfriend, Betsy.
Yeah.
Four of us all heading to the Kraken game tonight. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun.
Can't wait to troll G with that, too.
I know. So, yeah, remember, G's going to be in here in a half hour. He was supposed to go with us, and now he's being replaced by Betsy, who he's obsessed with, which, by the way, is funny in its own right. But he's ditching us to go see Bill Biv DeVoe tonight.
Mm-hmm. I just hope we get a fish.
Even though we literally got these tickets from the boss. Because we said we were taking G to his first hockey game, and she was like, yeah, no problem, here you go. And then he ditched us. So I haven't told her yet that G's not coming. Hopefully she's...
Well, she's found out.
That's 8 o'clock. She's probably in the building.
Now I feel like Betsy and Justin are kind of just trolling G. Like, she's never going to meet him
right.
Because when you first asked about these tickets, he said Betsy couldn't go. And then when G couldn't go, now Betsy's taking
Now all of a sudden she can go.
Oh, how the turntables.
Fascinating. Now, do you think we'll see the same Betsy that we saw the last time, or do you think it'll be a different girl that Justin brings and claims
she's busy,
Betsy?
So we hired someone.
Yeah, oh, you know, that Betsy is busy. I've got Betsy, too.
Another modeling
shoot.
It's
going to be like Aunt Viv.
She's in Malta.
You bring in a different one. All right. Jerry DePoto, on with you guys yesterday. Some stuff I wanted to react to here. And I want to start with Jared Kelnick. Let me first remind everybody what an idiot I am. I said last season would depend on Kelnick.
Yeah.
I was wrong, clearly. Kelnick did not have a huge year, had to be sent down again. It didn't go very well. Had some moments at the end of the year, honestly, which I think should provide a little bit of hope. But it was not good. Kind of a train wreck, right? So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that a successful 2023 for the Mariners once again depends on Jared Kelnick. It does not. But I do believe that Jared Kelnick reaching his full potential would make this team drastically better than it's been.
The bat that everybody's been asking for?
Exactly right. If yeah. Jared Kelnick can just be the guy that they project him to be, then I think that things change dramatically in terms of what this roster looks like, and it's got to start right off the bat.
Everybody goes high and low. You're going to slump in a season, but you know if Jared can keep his head above water, especially at the start, and let those skills play, I think you will see what he's capable of. And I'd add this: Justin Hollander said to me about a week or 10 days ago, you know, what we still have to remember with Jared, Jared's younger than either of the two quarterbacks that played in the national championship game this year. So it's, you know, he's still a very young player by age, and he has some experience at the big league level. And we really do think that there's so much more in his tank.
I think it's a really good point, unsurprisingly, from Jerry, but one that I kind of thought about is if he can just keep his head above water is a great phrase for it. Don't get buried. Don't get caught under the avalanche that he's had the last couple of years right off the bat, where you look up and all of a sudden you're hitting 050, right? Mm-hmm. It's only been five or six games, but and then you look up every day and you see that number and it gets in your head, and the way he's wired, he tries to hit a five-run home run
always
every time he's
from
up.
Behind.
He specifically is not very well wired to deal with that. So if he can start off the year and hit 260, hit 250, hit 240, hit a couple home runs, drive in a couple runs, take a few big walks, feel like you're a part of the team.
Hit on base, yeah.
I mean, look, I don't know whether you've ever been on a team where you're the worst player. Have you ever had that experience of being on a team where you're the worst player?
Yeah.
I have.
It stinks, right? And you feel, especially if that team's decent or could be good, you feel as if you are dragging everybody down.
And very similarly, being the youngest when you're the worst.
Yes.
It's tough. And you're expected to hang. There's
no confidence, right?
Yeah.
You don't feel like you belong. It's hard to ever feel truly comfortable. And oh, by the way, in his case, the guy a year younger than him just went out there and tore it up. So I do think that there's a lot of mental stuff in there. But if he could keep his head above water, well, maybe you get a successful 2023.
I think end-to-end traction you know, where it is not, you know, a 2 or 3 day stretch, or it's not an exciting homestand, and it's not underlying information that you're hopeful will turn into results, but actually taking the skills that he has and the big tools that he possesses and turning it into, you know, day in, day out contribution. What that means in a slash line, I can't tell you. I do know Jared will play good defense. He will run the base as well. You're going to see the power play. It's the consistency and the day-to-day at bats and not riding the wave.
I think it's, again, he's got Kelnick perfectly pegged, right? Traction, consistency. Not can you do it for a couple games at a time. Can you do it over the course of a season? And it doesn't need to be at an all-star level right now. He's still incredibly young. What did Jerry say yesterday? He's younger than both quarterbacks in the national championship game. He's a kid. And so I see text messages. Has anybody ever come up and down and been bad and then been good like this? I can't think of names off the top of my head.
Did you mention Tucker last year?
Yes. He hasn't had all the ups and downs, but he came up and struggled, got sent down for a while, and then ended up obviously becoming really great. Kelnick is still really, really young. Just be consistent. Just look like a major leaguer. And then eventually all of the other stuff should follow after that. So I think that's a really good conversation about the future of Jared Kelnick. I think they're better prepared to weather that if he does struggle this year. I think they've sort of built that in as a possibility. But I also will tell you, like, if he doesn't, if he becomes the Jared Kelnick he's supposed to be, if he's even just a good player this year, you've seen what that can do for the team. You've seen in those stretches how he has the capability of carrying a group for a short stretch of time. Mm-hmm. That would really be a fantastic development.
Not all that dissimilar from the Cal Raleigh emergence. There was a time where his non-competitive at like bats that. Were like, yes. we can't do this anymore.
Yes, Justin, it would be just like that.
And how hard I rooted for Cal Raleigh is probably twice for Jerry Kelnick.
Total 100 perfect comp. Hey, you guys didn't ask him about Evan White at all yesterday, did you?
I don't think so.
I gotta ask him.
And Brent Stecker from our website.
Was he mad about it?
Well, he asked me to ask Brock.
Yeah.
So we could get an update, and I forgot, so I dropped the ball.
Well, I want to do it next week. So remind me as well. It's another interesting name of a guy that we've all written off, right? The injuries. He didn't live up to his billing in that first year. But the Mariners gave this guy a long term contract before he'd really played a big league game for a reason. I don't know whether he ends up being an X factor this year, but I think it's a really, way under the radar name that maybe we shouldn't be sleeping on. Look, if he gets hurt again and it just doesn't work out, okay, fine, these things happen.
Yeah.
But if he is healthy, he's got major league talent. He's of the right age to be a contributor, and he's a good enough athlete to play the outfield if necessary. If Kelnick doesn't work out and can't hit again, any chance that we see him move to left field and see, another lefty, right, who could, swap some playing time with Pollock and be a platoon bat? I don't know. Another just sort of thing that I'll be looking at and watching for to see how that plays out over the course of this year. And he's one of those guys I'll be curious to see in spring training, how he looks. Is he healthy? Is he like somebody who could change that conversation and narrative around him and make himself a big leaguer this year? All right, good stuff from Jerry. You can hear that whole interview at seattlesports.com or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it. We'll come right back, give you everything you need to know. And I see G. Scott out there. I have a feeling he's got a few things to say. He'll be in 20. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, first thing you got to know today is that John Schneider became yet another member of the Seahawks organization to be passed over for an award. This time it's for Executive of the Year, of course. Goes to Eagles GM Howie Roseman. Now, again, Roseman's done a great job, deserving of an award. I'm not mad at him. This isn't like 2012 when Schneider lost out to Ryan Grigson of the Colts, who was so brilliant. He drafted Andrew Luck with the number one overall pick. Wow. That's an Executive of the Year right there. But, gosh, Schneider trades Russ. He has the best draft class of the year. His team outperforms expectations by 4 or 5 games. They make the playoffs, and yet He loses out to Howie Roseman, a guy who tried to trade for Russell Wilson in the offseason. The only reason he didn't is that Russ said no. So I don't know whether I'm buying all that. I am excited about what we're going to see this weekend. I think Sunday is going to be a blast. San Francisco, Philly, of course, at noon. Cincinnati, KC at 3:30. I like the way Joe Fan kind of summed these games up. I agree with him. On one hand, in the in the NFC, you're looking at two of the best rosters, probably the two best overall rosters in the NFL. And in the AFC, you might be looking at the two best quarterbacks right now. Interesting how all of that shakes out, right? You got two completely different ways to build a roster. And if you're the Seahawks and you're trying to figure out what to do moving forward with Geno Smith.
You be all right in there?
I'm coughing to death. Let's just move it along.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Sheesh. I had a Go Macro bar. What are they putting those things?
Power through, man.
It's like right in the like exact spot on my vocal cord. Sheesh.
Pop-Tarts would never.
This is why you should eat more unhealthy. Pop-Tarts don't get stuck in my throat. We're going to go to the Kraken game tonight. Looking forward to see them take on Calgary. I'm still a little upset about what I saw. I didn't get to watch the whole game, obviously, on Wednesday. I was out. But the Tyler Myers shot on Matty Beniers is not only dirty, it continues the trend that has been building here over the course of the last few weeks. And it's not right. The Kraken are going to have to do something about it. Unfortunately, the league just isn't great about policing this stuff. Maybe they'll suspend Myers for a game or two. They should, because that was dirty. It was on purpose, and it was dangerous. And if Beniers ends up being out here for some time with a concussion, ugh, that would just be such an incredible disappointment for a kid that has dealt with all of the punishment that has been coming his way just because he's a young, good rookie. You got to have somebody on your team that puts a little bit of fear into the other side so that they don't want to take some of those shots at him. And I appreciate Jamie Oleksiak going after Shen, and good for him. I'm glad they got into a little tussle. But you can't allow that stuff to happen. And the best defense in this case is a good offense. You got to have somebody on your team that the other side's a little afraid of. And right now they don't. So trade deadline coming up. They got a bunch of different things that are going to be on the list for this Kraken group. Got to do something. So I don't like it. I was kind of viscerally angry when I saw it.
Yeah.
And Moore remembers, we talked about this earlier, it just was so reminiscent of what happened to Mark Savard, who ended up having his career essentially stolen from him by a cheap shot from James Neal that gave him another concussion, and he was just never able to get back from it. So I don't want to see that happen to Matty Beniers, who seems like a really good kid and a really good young player. You got to have somebody around to protect him.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, we do know that hope always springs eternal in baseball. And after most Mariners fans, I think, felt like the roster was pretty well set heading into spring training. We had Ryan Divish say that he thought the WBC was perhaps limiting some of the trade options. Jerry DePoto saying not so fast.
I don't think so. I would be shocked if we didn't see multiple trades between now and spring training around the league, just based on the rhetoric we are hearing and the conversations that we're having. You know, whether we are among them remains to be seen, but you know, the WBC is going to, it brings us to spring training earlier and clearly takes a lot of impact players away for a period of time. But I think clubs are still going to go about their business and build their roster, you know, the way they think they should. And, you know, and the WBC is, you know, it is going to be the tree that's falling, no matter if you're in the woods or out.
Well, good. I would certainly like to see them continue to add. And if they have an opportunity to provide a little more oomph to this roster, that would be a good thing as well. And we've obviously spent so much time talking about bats, but you know what's still available? A couple of interesting relievers, especially lefties. And that's the one thing that this group has sort of missed, is having that power lefty. Anybody be interested in Matt Moore? I would. He's still available. And Zach Britton's out there, a couple others as well. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not there is a way to continue to augment this roster moving forward. It's everything you need to know, and we do that quarter past every hour here on the new Brock and Salk show. So what? You guys had a different kind of ranked yesterday, huh? And everybody decides to pile on, Maura?
Yes. Goldie delivered his top five and worst five ballpark songs. And
top five and
guesses
worst
on number
and
one.
Bottom five.
Number one ballpark song. If Brock had anything song to do with it, it was Zombie Nation.
Nope.
For sure. Take me out to the ball game?
No, well, also keep in mind, these were like A lot of them were entrance
music. It was
music.
A mix. Most of it was walk-ups, but he also had some songs in there that ballparks play, like Train Calling All Angels at the Angel Stadium that just annoyed him.
Mm-hmm. Which is a shit, it's Train.
So the number one was an entrance song.
Number one was an entrance song for a player.
The biggest one from last year.
I mean, it's got to be Edwin Diaz, right, with the trumpet guy?
Timmy Trumpet,
all right, sure.
Stop stalling. What I want to get to is the reviews that came in, because they were pouring in.
Yeah.
206, maybe the problem isn't ranked, it's Salk. Mm. 415, this one actually honors the name ranked, hashtag solid Goldie. Sean the Crane Guy, this is a million times better than Salk's, which makes it 10 million times better than Brock and Mora's ranked. Thank you, Goldie. Hey! Oh, that one you guys like, huh?
That's pretty funny.
425, now this is ranked. I don't know what we've been listening to before. 425, best ranked ever. 360, Mora is agreeing with and participating in ranked. What year is it? 360, ranked is actually ranking things this time and not full of honorable mentions.
Right.
509, he didn't have any honorable mentions? Things that didn't make the list?
He didn't have any honorable mentions in
not
his ranking?
A single honorable
mention. Oh my God, Justin, I'm surprised you didn't walk out.
253, now that is a ranked, best ranked ever.
Are you done?
206, finally worthy ranked. 509, this ranked is already 1 million times better than Justin and Salk's 15 minutes of ranking songs that have a singular word in it.
I wish we got a full 15 minutes. We only get 10.
We also have one Stacey Ross checking in.
Oh, jeez. What did Stacey
say? Some Aaron Goldsmith this morning. Finally hear a ranked segment that sounded good. And,
oh, my gosh.
And get some Mariners updates from Jerry DePoto. Look at all that. All that in one morning. How about that bump?
Shots fired.
I'm just saying. I agree with Mora every single day of like the ranked that they do on Brock and Salk is just word association. And finally today, they actually made its intent known. Like they carried it out the way it should be. Best ranked segment. In terms of ranking ranked, that one's number one.
Oh my
fantastic.
Oh, my God. I feel like this is a knife to the stomach.
Man.
Oh, I just, or really to the back.
To the back. While you were gone?
Sheesh.
It's all just truth. I got you to admit it off air.
I admit nothing.
You said that what he did wouldn't be sustainable. I was like, so since ranking wasn't sustainable, you just changed it to something else, but you still call it ranked.
Yes.
So your whole segment is a lie.
It's not a lie.
That's exactly a lie.
It's not a lie. It's just ranked.
What Stacey said was just true. Stacey stabbed me in the back.
I'm done.
She's saying that you're not actually ranking things, and you just admitted that that's true.
We need a quick timeout because we did all this ballpark music yesterday.
Start ranking Stacey's. She's going to be last.
And for all the people who were upset last year about this, guess what didn't make either list? Louie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's the lead.
Well, that's
people.
Just Goldsmith's list. It's not everybody else's list, right?
Well, nobody seemed upset
about
his list.
See, I'm willing to sort of think for the people and try to, you know, bring everybody's ideas into it so that everyone feels included. It sounds like Aaron Goldsmith was a little elitist, exclusionary, and exclusive when he and Mora did their little rank together. G. Scott next.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Ain't been here in a week.
I got questions for you today, G. I got all sorts of good stuff for you.
Look here. Good morning, everybody. It's time to get a people with the wall.
We got a great, great championship weekend planned, I think, for Sunday.
Oh, yes.
I got to ask you about Steve Wilks, which I'm excited about here in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Can I start off before we get to any of that?
Talk to your boy.
With a scenarios question. I know you and Ursula do your scenarios every day. Yes, so can I throw a scenario at you and see how you respond to this?
Sure.
You get on a plane, you are in a middle seat, and the person that happens, I was with my daughter, she got the window, I took the middle, and...
Smart.
Yeah, I mean, wait,
smart.
Come on.
Yeah, smart. Okay, I'm feeling
it. In the middle seat.
Okay.
Guy comes in next to me to take the aisle.
Okay.
Smells like he has worked out at the gym, put on his clothes, and come and gotten onto a plane. What do you do in that situation? What are the options available to you when the guy who is blocking you in smells like he has come from the gym, allowed the sweat to dry, and then put his clothes on and gotten on a plane? What recourse do you have? What can you do?
Not a damn thing.
Complain to the, Karen nothing. That thing?
There's nothing you can do.
Well, there is, as it turns out. There is one thing that you can do, and I lucked into it.
Oh,
so it just so happens.
You change your first name to Karen. Oh, go ahead.
It just so happens that in the top little pocket of my backpack, I had a mask. And I'm not a crazy, got to wear my mask everywhere I go person. But I had it in my backpack from a previous trip when they were required in airplanes. Not only did I have a mask in that pocket, but you know what the other thing was that was in that pocket?
What?
A pack of mint gum.
Yeah.
So my mask smelled like fresh spearmint. I threw that thing on and Mr. Sweaty Gym Guy just disappeared. How about that?
I like that. But can I ask you a question? I need to ask this.
All right.
Now,
he smelled bad.
You are Mike Salk, meaning half of the Brock and Salk.
That's true.
The number one sports show in town.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing this game for years. As a matter of fact, you gave me my first contract. It was real shout. That check was real light.
Yes.
No, I'm embarrassed by that check you first offered me.
All right.
But neither here or there.
Yes.
You offered me a check.
That was nice of me.
So here's my question. Bruh, why you ain't flying first class?
Oh.
I mean.
What kind of money do you think I make here, man? I mean, this is radio, not television. We don't have any money.
So let me get.
I'm not Brock Heward. I don't make the big bucks. I sacrifice. You know, we got to make sure Brock's well compensated for not working on Fridays. Like, you know, these things are, you know, it's not easy being me.
As you're going to Vegas on a weekday.
Hey, most people are trying to.
Yeah, a one-day trip for your 11-year-old daughter.
Most,
right?
Most, right?
These two things.
It's a very nice thing, but it's also
Hey. I'm glad y'all did that. Now, usually, don't get me wrong, I love Brock shade. I'll be the first one to throw some Brock shade. But I'm glad you guys put this back on Salk. You ain't going to just shade Brock you taking day trips with your daughter just overnight. Come on, player.
Both the flight and the hotel were basically free.
Oh.
How about that?
Oh, you know people.
So you guys know I don't know anybody. So the flight, when Heather and I flew to San Diego last July, they offered us money to get off the flight and give it up for somebody else and take a flight 4 hours later. And we got $1,000 a piece to get off that flight. So I used my money to take Avery to Vegas because I'm a selfless human being who loves his daughter. And, you know, I have to use it for something, so I might as well use it for that.
All right.
And then we were comped the room just by being a member of M Life. We just comped it. I didn't have anything to do with it. It just was there.
Okay.
So there you go. Dude, don't mess with me. I know what I'm doing. I don't make any money. I'm a man of the people.
Spent the money on a good dinner, though.
I did do that.
I'm just curious that if and when Justin buys a plane ticket.
Yeah. You mean on Frontier?
Does he buy an extra one so he can have that empty seat next to him?
When you're...
Betsy update.
I wish that I had done that instead of sitting next to the smelly guy the other day. All right. I got a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about. I got to talk Gino. Let's start there. Can you win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
If you pay Geno Smith $30+ million. Can you pay Geno Smith $30 million? Not just you. Yeah. Can the Seahawks, as currently constituted and what they need to do moving forward, can they pay Geno Smith $30, $35 million and win a Super Bowl?
I mean, they can. Anything is possible. You know, that was a Kevin Garnett Boston Celtic reference. They can. They could. It's possible. Slim chances. And I don't think the Seahawks will pay him $30 million a season. And it's very slim if they were to pay him right now. Look, right now, the four quarterbacks that are in game right now that are still left, three of those quarterbacks are playing on rookie deals. One of those quarterback, when he did win a Super Bowl, it was on a what? It was on a rookie deal when Patrick Mahomes won it. Look, that's what GMs, that's what organizations are looking for. They are looking for that quarterback that you can go ahead and just kind of gamble on and be able to do it. Now, do I think Geno Smith is the best option? Do I think Geno Smith and Drew Lock are enough to keep the Seahawks from drafting a quarterback in the first round? Absolutely. I don't see the Seahawks drafting a quarterback in the first round. Even though I don't see the Seahawks drafting a quarterback in the first round, I also, this is going to hurt, I also don't see the Seahawks paying Geno Smith $25 million.
I don't either, and it's because of your answer, and it's not a shot at Geno. I think Geno is a good quarterback, and I think he earned some money this year, and I think Geno may very well get paid and be worth $25-plus million dollars somewhere. I don't disagree with any of that, and none of this should be viewed as any sort of a speaking down or negatively about what Geno Smith accomplished or whitewashing that now.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to answer that question. John Schneider's job is not to make Geno Smith happy and pay him what he deserves. His job is to win a Super Bowl here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And unless he can, you know, comfortably answer that question I asked you with a yes, you can't do that. I mean, it'd be irresponsible to pay him that much unless you believe that there is a path to winning a Super Bowl while you're paying him that kind of money.
I'll say this. There was something that happened at the very, before the season, in the off season, and when it happened, and we all saw it, and some of us are still hurt by it, and we all love, and you love, that's your partner right now, because you guys talked, Bobby Wagner, right? Let's talk about Bobby Wagner, and of course, you always thought that Bobby Wagner would end his career as a Seattle Seahawks. It wasn't that he wasn't loved. He is absolutely loved in that building. He's loved with his fan base. What wasn't loved was the $20 million salary that the Seahawks would have been on the hook for. If the Seahawks were bold enough to make that decision with Bobby, and Bobby, y'all know, come on now, I say Bobby, you guys.
He embodies who they are.
It's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
If they were able to make that decision for the betterment of the team going forward, and I as much as I love Bobby, I still think that they probably made the best decision for the team. I think that same decision that was made then will definitely be easier to make with the decision now with Geno.
So who starts week one for them next year?
Geno.
Oh, so you think that he signs for less money?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You think Geno Smith signs here for some $15 to $20 million?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Geno Smith is the starter week one.
I don't know, man. I mean, if he's gotten $30 million somewhere else, you don't think he will?
Okay, well,
dude, 15 mil is 15 mil.
Okay, I know you can't, you don't, can you guys look this up? Name some teams out there right now that, let's just say, because, by the way, I've been in relationships before, I've told the girl before, hey, you know what, I got other options, and I'd be lying. But anyways, let's find out
other
what
teams
out there
that might think
about giving him $30 million a season.
The two off the top of my head are Washington and Carolina. Two teams, and New Orleans would be the next one. Three teams that have pretty good rosters, were right there near making the playoffs this year, but don't have a quarterback. And if they were to add Geno Smith, he might put them over the top, get them into the playoffs. And in an NFC where there are no dominant quarterbacks, there's three teams right there that I think would benefit from signing Geno Smith.
I don't think – let me answer that one. I think Frank Reich is going back to Carolina. And by the way
– we're going to get to that
I think he's going to Carolina, and I think he's going to go there, and I don't think that's the direction that he wants to go. I don't think that's the direction he wants to go for that. The Commanders – same thing. I don't think we're talking about $30 million a season for the quarterback to bring them
for
in.
For two seasons?
For a couple of seasons?
I don't know, man. I see three teams
right
there.
I just gave Carson Wentz $22 million last year.
I think Carson Wentz, there's a lot of people that love Carson Wentz.
There seem to be.
He looks a certain way.
How about Tampa if Tom Brady leaves there? I mean, like, I do think that there are a lot of places, Tennessee, where he would specifically be similar to the guy that he'd replace.
I think, check this out, it's no coincidence that Geno Smith has looked the best with John Schneider and Pete Carroll here in this organization. Mm-hmm. And I think that the football folks, there's a lot of football folks, just, I mean, I don't know that much about this game, that are way smarter than me, that kind of think, if we grab Geno Smith, will we get that Geno Smith? Because what they're paying for, they're paying $30 million, if they were, for that Geno Smith. And the question is, you guys know, your mama, your grandmama's recipe, you ever try to make the recipe and you'd be like, for some reason, it's just not the same. That's that Pete Carroll recipe. You might not get the same Geno Smith.
That's fine.
Geno Smith.
But in a league where people are willing to spend that kind of money on Carson Wentz, I just don't believe that a team that is in playoff position but doesn't have the right quarterback won't be willing to pay the guy some money.
In a league that is consistent, that looks at a quarterback like Carson Wentz and the other kind of quarterback that get chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. Geno Smith is not going to get that same lead.
Well, we'll find out. I would think he will. We'll find out. Maybe along those lines. So yesterday we find out that Carolina has hired a coach. It is not going to be Steve Wilkes, who did a phenomenal job down the stretch, took a team with no quarterback that was going nowhere, traded Christian McCaffrey, and went 6-6 and nearly ended up making the playoffs. I thought they looked really darn good when they came here to Seattle and beat the Seahawks. This from Jim Trotter this morning. He says Wilkes never had a legitimate shot. From the beginning, owner David Tepper said Wilkes would have to do a, quote, incredible job just to be considered for a permanent job. After Wilkes did that, Tepper didn't even attend the final game to thank Wilkes or the players for nearly winning their division. In addition to all of that, they hired Frank Reich's daughter, and it looks time-wise like they did that before hiring Frank Reich, which I think is going to make a lot of people wonder whether or not the fix was in, and any other interviews that they conducted were nothing more than for show.
Both things can be true. I think Steve Wilkes got a raw job out there in Carolina. Yeah. That's a bad deal, right? I thought he was phenomenal. I thought the Carolina Panthers team that came here to Seattle, you guys saw it. I thought that Panther team was nice. Run game was nice. I thought the way they fought and battled at the end of the season, they were fantastic. They turned it around. I think they started off 1-4 on the season, and they actually turned it around. Steve Wilkes was fantastic. However, he got a raw deal, and I think Frank Reich is a good coach. I really think Frank Reich is a really good coach. I think that his whole deal, I think the Colts organization are the Colts, and sometimes bad organizations can't make up for what's going on in the product on the field and with the coaching. I think Frank Reich was good to get up out of that situation or get fired out of that situation. I like Frank Reich. I think he is a brilliant football mind. I think him going to Carolina, I think Carolina has a good coach. So with this, both things can be true.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but I don't know. This to me combines two problems the NFL has. One, the Rich Bisaccia problem. This guy's doing well, and yet you want to go for somebody else, and I don't understand it sometimes. Like, why are you ignoring the thing that's right in front of you succeeding? And I think the Raiders absolutely screwed that up by letting Bisaccia go and bringing in Josh McDaniels. It hasn't worked at all. In fact, they've regressed. And then the second part of it is, you know, the racial element can't be ignored here. I mean, like, especially on the heels of the Brian Flores lawsuit, et cetera, it feels very much so as if he was hired and then never given a fair shot to get the job again.
Yeah.
It's not right.
No, it's not right.
Why are you saying it's okay?
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying what is. I'm saying that I'm used to this. I'm used to interim black coaches getting a job, doing well, and then not getting a job. I'm used to seeing Lovie Smith go down there and do what happened there. As a matter of fact, who was the manager that was when the Astros were going through all of their problems and all the cheating? Who was the manager that was brought in to clean up things?
Dusty Baker.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, man. Sometimes you got to come in there and you got to work twice as harder. You know what I'm saying? And still might not have a chance. So I'm not okay with it, but I'm also at the understanding, how many black owners are there in the NFL? Exactly. There's zero black owners.
Right.
Right? And so oftentimes, not just in the NFL. By the way, the NFL doesn't just have this problem. Hello? Corporate America has this problem. Sports radio has this problem where there's not diversity. What percentage of sports radio are white? Like 95%. Hello? What are we talking about? You know what I mean? But what percentage of those that cover the NFL? What percentage of the NFL is black? So we don't just have a problem with owners not hiring black folks. We got a problem all over the country with folks not hiring black folks.
Well, and in this case, I think it goes even a step beyond that, where you had somebody in who was doing a good job. Yeah. I think that's the part that bugs me. Look, I don't think Lovie Smith's a very good coach. I just don't. I think every time he's been anywhere, Lovie's pretty well shown that he's not a good NFL coach. I don't like what they did, bringing him in for a year and then moving on from him. But it's hard for me to sit here and really stand up for a guy in Lovie Smith that I don't think is a great coach. By all accounts, this guy is a great coach. And I watched with my own eyes what he did last year in Carolina to take a team that was going in the wrong direction, turn it around, move it in the right direction, and get a lot out of a roster that very easily could have quit. That makes me very uncomfortable. And if they're jobbing and trying to get around the process, perhaps even more so. But a few other things I want to make sure we chat about today. Mm. Justin and Betsy and Moore and I are going to the hockey game tonight without you. What do you mean?
Maura, Justin, and can we go TBD?
TBD.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe Betsy thinks you're dodging her. Maybe that's what this is.
You're supposed to come with us tonight. So you've put me in a bad spot. We talked about scenarios. G's put me in a bad spot. Yes. You've sort of hung me out to dry here a little bit. You said you'd never been to a hockey game.
Which I haven't.
And I really was excited to take you because you know how much I love you and I love hockey.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring you to the game. And so I went to the boss and I said, hey, can I get our four tickets for this night? We agreed on a night that would work for all four of us. Mm-hmm. And I said, can I get these tickets? I really want to take G to the game. She said, of course.
Yeah.
She gave me the tickets and this was months ago. And and now you're not going to the game.
Yeah.
And so I feel like.
Wait, where are you doing?
Bell Biv DeVoe.
Okay.
Hey, look, shout out to the Emerald Queen Casino. Bell Biv DeVoe tonight. Look, y'all, I'm newly married. And when my wife says, oh, babe, I got Bell Biv DeVoe tickets, what am I supposed to do? Say no?
I don't know. Look at your calendar.
It doesn't matter.
Well, but you could at least let us know that you're not coming.
It doesn't matter. Now, hold on real quick. I don't want to move off this topic. I want to pull back the curtains a little bit because you guys heard Mike Salk say, I went up to the bosses and he asked for those tickets.
Finish that, yeah.
Let me be very clear, guys. Let me be very, very clear. Mike Salk gets whatever he wants around here, okay? So even if one of the bosses are listening right now, yeah, I said it. Mike Salk can get any tickets that he wants. Trust me.
He didn't use his one ask of the year.
He doesn't get one ask of the year.
I lied about the tickets.
It doesn't matter. You have unlimited supply up there with the bosses. I don't have that type of...
How do you know?
Fam. Come on.
How do you know that?
Come on.
How do you know? How many times have you asked? How many times has anybody said no to you?
Why it's hard for Salk to find. Can't get it out of my head. Miss her, kiss her, love her. That girl is. Now here's the problem, and Salk, you brought this up.
What are they gonna do after this? They're gonna do me, right?
Do me, baby.
And then what? And
when will I see her smile again? They'll play that. And then after that,
you still got an hour to kill.
You can be at a cracking game for the first half.
Ladies,
first two quarters.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the king of R&B, Bobby Brown. Ralph Trasvant is here. If it isn't love.
you have seats? Or are you in? I haven't been to a show there.
Come
so
on now. You know you. Boy.
Oh,
you know,
VIP?
You know you
won. So hold on. So I'm a problem because I asked for the tickets that our company owns.
Yeah, but I got to pay for ours.
Well,
there's a difference.
What?
There's
you don't get hooked up for this?
No.
What?
No. How would I get hooked up?
Gee. All of your connections around here.
I have no connections.
You're telling me you paid for BBD tickets?
Absolutely. No connections.
Wow. How do you do that on that small salary that I've been screwing you on for all these years?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm still on that same salary.
That's not true, you liar.
And wait a minute. Check this out.
This guy is he comes on here and lies to all of you. You're no man of the people. You're a big fat liar.
You know the saying, don't go to the grocery store while hungry? Let me tell y'all something. Do not go for a quick little job interview with somebody when you're starving. You feel me? I sat down in front of my salt.
Can we do this interview at lunch?
Bro,
let's go across the street to Siam.
And by the way, I, was just glad that my lunch was free. Anyway, we sitting right there having lunch, and then Mike Salk pulls out the paper. It's always in the manila folder, right? It's in the manila folder, and bam, it's right there in my face. So I looked at the contract, and I'm thinking to myself, self, you ain't got no other job.
what leverage you got?
You do all them credit cards are maxed out, and this is more money than you've ever
made.
Are you done yet? I got PTSD about that contract.
Yeah, no, it's
I'm
so
still,
sad.
I'm still
it
on
is
contract.
Surprising that we didn't take a guy who had never worked in the industry before and offered him more money than everybody else at the station and the building was already making. I'm really surprised by that because most smart business people would have said, you know what, let's bet big. We don't have the budget for this, but by all means, if we're going to bet on this guy, let's bet really big and just start throwing cash at him and see what happens. I'm surprised the Niners didn't do that with Brock Purdy. Why aren't they just paying that guy millions and millions of dollars to be the last pick in the draft? Yeah, he certainly earned it now, but where was he then? Get out of here.
Hey,
Go do the Gene Ursula show for which you are very well compensated.
I struck a nerve. Yeah. And by the way, when Mike Salk offered me the deal and we gave the stuff, it's not like any other place is going to give me money.
All right, you got to go.
Today's our 3-year anniversary.
Is it really?
Gene Ursula, yeah.
Nice, congratulations.
Wow. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Awesome. Yeah.
I didn't think you'd make it 3 years.
Hey, can you ask the bosses if I can get the same things that you get?
Yeah. You know what you could do?
What?
Email her and just ask.
You gotta sign in your email. Mike Salk, well, matter of fact, she'll probably come down and.
How do you think I asked for the damn tickets? I emailed her.
They're gonna come down like, hey, Salk, did you need anything?
Would you turn his mic off? We've got Whose Shoes Next. Go listen to G with Ursula every day at 9 o'clock or whenever they start their show. It's like 9:15 by the time traffic and weather is done. You can go catch G and Ursula over there from 9 to noon on 97.3 Cairo News Radio. We'll be right back with a much more calm, relaxed, focused show moving forward.
Yeah, until ranked.
Well, yeah, at least until 9:45. And then, all bets are off. It's Brock and Salk, Yale Sports on 710.